it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios. Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gangway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you very much. Welcome back, everyone, to Toker Talk Radio. It's 5:02 in the Mountain Time Zone because we are coming to you live from Denver, Colorado. And when I say we, I'm not talking about the mouse in my pocket. I'm talking about Wiz Calico, Calico Castile, who is here in studio with us. How's it going, Calico?
Quite well, Russ. I mean, good Lord, how can we complain? It's beautiful out here in Colorado.
That's right. It's a beautiful day in Colorado. God, it must be 65, 70 degrees out. Kind of partly cloudy, nice out, and more dispensaries than Starbucks and McDonald's combined, Calico.
I mean, I remember them saying that, but now I believe it.
Yeah, it's something else, but you got to watch because some of them are med, some of them are rec, and some of them are rec med or med rec. We'll have to decide. Med rec sounds like a Star Trek alien race, doesn't it? Like a leader of a Star Trek alien race. So Rec Med, I think, is what we're going to do. All right. So on today's show, we got all sorts of interesting things to talk about. First of which is our visit to the first legal pot shop you can get to after you've driven the length of two 350-mile long red states. That is Idaho and Wyoming, where just by the virtue of the cannabinoids in our system from Oregon, Calico and I were criminals for 2 days.
Yeah, that was actually a very trippy experience.
Like, welcome to 20 years of my life as a stoner in Idaho. Now, let's see, I started in Idaho in 1990, and I left in 2003, so 13 years of being a stoner in Idaho, and it changes your perception, man. You like, the hairs on the back of your neck are always up. You notice every police car. I mean, It's really freaky how your mindset changes. And if it doesn't, you get caught. So you have to be real careful. But we avoided Utah because, you know, fuck Utah. And that's right. We went up through Wyoming, up through Rock Springs area, Rawlins, up through Laramie.
Gorgeous and, out there.
Yeah. And Calico never made this drive across this great expanse of the Intermountain West. And it is awe-inspiring in the true sense of the word awe.
I learned about the Continental Divide. I'd heard it a million times, had no idea what it was.
Calico didn't know what the Continental Divide was, folks. What are they teaching in school? For those of you who don't know, the Continental Divide is the line that runs down the Rocky Mountains, and on one side of it, all the rivers flow to the Pacific, and on the other side of it, all the rivers flow to the Gulf of Mexico or the Atlantic. It's the spine of our continent, the Continental Divide. So, ding, you also get a little bit of trivia on the show. So, anyway, we come down... Wyoming. We drove across southern Idaho. That was fun because I got to tell Calico all my southern Idaho trivia. You know, like southern Idaho was all a sea at one point. There's all these trilobite fossils and stuff you can find. And, of course, Evel Knievel jumped the canyon over there. We passed where Evel Knievel jumped the canyon, or tried to jump the canyon, I should say. And so we made it across Idaho and into Wyoming and through Rock Springs and just some gorgeous geology. If you're into geology, it's really cool, but it's a whole lot of it. whole lot of it. And but you'd occasionally see like the evidence of the petroleum industry out there, you know, a drill or a well or 16 mobile homes in the middle of nowhere that are just there for the workers. So we made that drive, a couple days of driving, my back's hurting, you know, because I usually smoke weed. And we get to the first, we look up, where's the first place you can get weed? It's the Infinite Wellness Center in Fort Collins, Colorado, 900 College Avenue. And the first thing I noticed of the place, they had the MedRec or RecMed on the sign. And the second thing was how hopping it was. It was just...
It was busy. And we rolled in on a Sunday?
No, we were... It was Saturday. It was a Saturday afternoon. Okay. Yeah. So I suppose that would be a busy time.
Yeah.
But we got there and the parking lot was pretty full. And we just saw that there's going to be a big line of people. So when we come back from our break, we'll tell you more about our first legal pot buy in Colorado after 2 days in the red states. And then after our Roots Monday Daily Toker Tune with Bacon Dan, we're going to get into this essay that Keith Stropp wrote. Keith Stropp, of course, the founder of Normal, currently their legal counsel. And it's basically a reiteration of Normal's principles of responsible use. And the gist of the essay is that we need to display responsible use in order to maintain public opinion and momentum toward legalization. But in his defense of it, kind of calls out the wake and bake crowd. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll also take your calls at 844-420-RADIO. That's 844-207-2346. And my ability to recall that number right now is phenomenal. It debunks all the stereotypes, let me tell you, folks, because we're in Colorado.
Don't touch that dial. We're right back to Radical Russ in just a few minutes. Hey, does anybody really have a dial anymore? Huh? You're listening to The Russ Belville Show.
Also, as a little bonus, my friend who lives here in Colorado has saved numerous CDs from 2008 when I had the XM satellite radio show. So maybe I'll play some of those highlights coming up later on. That's right, old Radical Russ, the Red State Refugee, he's a liberal talk show host. All that coming up on Hour 2, Talk Radio. Stay tuned!
Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012.
Are you tired of storing your herb in back alley baggies? Then keep your herb fresh and protected with Pottles. Pottles are airtight and odor free, not to mention they're reusable, BPA free, and UV resistant. Pottles come in a variety of sizes, styles, and colors, so go check out Pottles at mypottles.com. Use the code STASH to get an additional 10% off. Again, that's mypottles.com, mypottles.com, and tell them Radical Russ sent ya.
Oh man, I really dig this tune. You should really check out this groove.
Cool. Groovy.
Hey, check out more deep cuts like this on my show, Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink, every Thursday night on 420 Radio.
Funky Roller Rink.
Support for 420 Radio comes from Kick-Ass Cannabis and Veggies, a guide to gardening with nature, authored by Kip Zonderkopf. Based on the ethos that a living soil is the foundation of a thriving garden, Kick-Ass Cannabis and Veggies is your guide to naturally growing resinous buds and nutrient-rich veggies. Get the ebook now with instant download at kickassorganics.com. Previews available on Amazon, iTunes, Nook, Google Play, Kobo, and many other online retailers.
I'm gonna live till I die. I'm gonna laugh instead of cry. I'm gonna take the town and turn it upside down. I'm gonna live, live, live until I die. They're gonna say, what a guy.
Oh yeah, Frank Sinatra, chairman of the board, the Rat Pack. That's I'm gonna live until I die, which is, you know, everybody's gonna live until they die, but that's not what he means, folks. He means to live, man, to live. I'll take, what was it, Dennis Leary who said, I'll take 64 Sammy Davis Jr. years over most anybody else's life, right?
Those are some pretty wild years.
Yes, you know, it just depends on your perspective, right? And those of us who are in the marijuana world, the cannabis community, whatever you want to call it, are living our lives, and some of us at great risk, some of us taking a lot of risk. So before we get into talking about the Rocky Mountain high prices, let's begin with the underscore of, wah, first world problems, yeah, wah.
It kind of sucks.
It does kind of suck, but I do have to always make that disclaimer, because a lot of people out there that are like, hell, I'd pay any amount not to have to deal with the criminal market or to have a place to shop that, has, that has a lot of you know, variety and so forth. But we get there and we get into the Infinite Wellness Center, and it has the line, the dividing line for recreational and medical. And it's like just 2-3 medical people there, and just it's very leisurely and kind of laid back. And then our side was like a Best Buy. It was like sitting in line waiting for the next available cashier and feeling kind of like, I felt like I didn't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about it, just because there's a freaking line behind me and I want to hold people up. And then of course, as I said in hour one, you get $10 for a joint that wasn't, you know, very quality of a joint, and then $65 for a half gram vapor cartridge. Now, it was a good vapor cartridge.
It tasted really good. It was some Durbin.
Yeah, it's Durbin poison. It was really nice, but $65 for a half gram, that's, well, I'll tell you, it lasts 2 days. that's how much it lasted.
And we pushed it.
And we pushed it. It really held off on that. So you know, I couldn't afford to my lifestyle at these prices here. No way. So I want to just see this pricing come down. And, you know, okay, so $85 purchase and then another $15 was just like 21 cents short of $15 in taxes on top of that on an $85 purchase. The effective rate on that, I'm sure someone out there can do the math, but I'll just quote the guy who ran for mayor in New York. The price is too damn high. It's just too much. So we have to be careful here as we continue legalizing, because I've just seen a couple of stories coming out. New York Times, I believe, just ran a story about the tax windfalls weren't what they were promised, and it's not going to balance budgets and yada, yada. Look at what lottery was supposed to do, and it didn't do its thing, right? Trying to undercut some of the our opponents are trying to undercut some of our main talking points. One is the taxes will help, you know, the kids, the schools and whatever. Another is, you know, the stone driving, you know, all the typical talking points. It'll hurt the kids and all that. But this tax one could be significant, because there are some people out there who only think of this as a dollars and cents issue, that it's just not worth it. It's not worth the time. And if they can convince that there's a cheaper alternative that still allows them to punish people, that you know, the Project Sam argument, undercutting our tax argument could be serious. On the other hand, they said it's not enough taxes, and already it's $15 on an $85 purchase. That's a little high. That's a little much. So what do we do to get that down? Well, we legalize in more states. That's what's going to bring it down. I believe as Oregon comes online, the market begins to crash, because of just more production, less taxes.
It's going to be awesome when Oregon finally gets to that place. Now that, you know, we talked to, or, you know, we're hearing Ted Farrioli from the Oregon Senate basically talking about the possibility of allowing adults over 21 to buy from medical dispensaries.
Yeah.
I think that's going to definitely ramp that up even quicker. Like, there's a lot of people who are definitely ready to start meeting that demand. And, you know, we're going to see the tourism. You had mentioned at some point when we were driving about how nice it would be to own a dispensary on the Oregon coast come this summer.
I know somebody's probably already got that, but they'll have to
There's
battle.
Many of them, for sure.
They'll have to battle all those groups, those waterfront tourism board, whatever the hell they call them. They're going to say, no, we don't want to be known as the pot place, the pot place. But I think what you get is like you get a Newport or a Seaside, some of these major tourist places, no, they're not going to want that. But then you get these little tiny places that are in between on that 101, that Highway 1 there. And yeah, they could do some good business in that.
Yeah, and you know, while we were on our trip, right, I played for that for you that clip from Jason Silva from Brain Games, from Discovery's Brain Games.
It yeah.
Basically went on a little rant, but a very well-articulated rant about marijuana legalization and how it's a huge leap forward for mankind. And he basically was talking about, you know, cannabis experiences. And so I think that places along the coast that maybe aren't going to be Newport or Seaside are actually going to benefit from that, because people are going to want to go and experience the coast for all it is and not really have to deal with the tourism. They'd rather go have a small location on a beachfront and go enjoy their cannabis and be one with nature and enjoy their loved ones and all that, you know, stuff. So I definitely believe that, you know, that's Newport, Seaside's and the bigger cities' losses, but there's definitely going to be a lot of people who stand to gain from.
Now, speaking of the coast and wonderful experiences, let me just, first of all, heartily endorse smoking a joint in front of a campfire on the Oregon coast as the sun goes down. I've done it a few times. It's wonderful. And that reminds me that today is the birthday of Cannabis Carry.
Oh, my goodness.
It's Cannabis Carry's birthday up in Astoria, Oregon.
Happy birthday, Carrie.
Happy birthday, Carrie, if you're out there. We're going to see if we can get her on the line.
Oh, that would be cool.
That would be pretty cool. We'll see if the Skype will work out to her there. But, yeah, happy birthday to Cannabis Carrie. And as far as this Rocky Mountain high prices, that bothers me. And then I'm bothered by when I talked to the guy. I said, man, that's pretty expensive. He said, yeah, it'd be cheaper on the medical side. I'm like, well, yeah, but I'm not allowed there, so fuck that. It's like, that's rude to even say, right? And then the fact that they had a display counter that said medical glass, that was like, you remember the South Park episode, right? Medicinal fried chicken, they're bouncing around on their balls and all that, right? And there, that was my medicinal fried chicken moment. It's like, oh, now, come on. Medicinal glass. Now, what it was is that it's sold on the medical side, and by their law or regulation or whatever it is, medical side is one shop and recreational side is another shop. So if you've got the slip of paper as the recreational person, you can't buy that medical glass. So I asked him about that. I said, you know, what happens if you put recreational bud in it? Is it like crossing the streams in Ghostbusters? And he kind of laughed. And I said, why don't you have glass on the recreational side? And I forgot exactly what he said. It had something to do with, if we had to ask the medical customers to go on the recreational side to buy glass, they would consider it a disservice. And that just made me feel like I feel when I'm waiting in an airport line and they're announcing all the platinum, diamond, ruby, elite, gold, crown, custom flyer, all these other lines, you're in group B and you're waiting. Like, Jesus, I'm the lowest rung of customer possible. Man, I just want that to end. I want there to be pot shop, and you go to said shop and you buy pot. That's all I want. And if you're really, really sick, then you have a discount or you have an insurance card that buys it for you or something. I'm not an ogre, right? I want people to get low-cost marijuana when it's for their desperate medical needs, for sure. I'm not wanting less for the patients. I'm wanting more for the recreational side. I'm wanting better treatment. I didn't fight for legalization to go from being gouged by some illegal dealer to being gouged by some legal dealer. I didn't get for legalization to be mistreated by the government and my work to be treated as a second-class citizen where I shop. I want equalization.
Well, I think that works both ways. We talked about this a little bit earlier about how it's equalization, and actually I believe that it's a privacy issue for medical patients if we're talking about splitting them off from the medical and the recreational side. Like, now we're automatically seeing who's sick.
Yeah.
Putting that in air quotes, you know what I mean? Or whatever, who is actually sick. And, like, you know, they're feeling like kind of...
It'd be like yeah, imagine so. having a separate roller coaster at Disneyland just for the sick. Right? Only sick people go. And by pointing out that line, oh, there's where all the sick people are. Yeah, it is kind of. But then again, I think a lot of the sick are taking it more as a badge of I've got a special privilege. I'm of a special class that gets this treatment. And I don't want to give it up. Now, don't blame me. You shouldn't give it up. You got good treatment. I just want the same treatment. I just want to be treated equally. All right. We got to take a break because according to the watch.
Unbelievable.
That's right. It's 4:20 back home in the Pacific time zone, but that means it's 5:20 here in Denver, and that means, well, if we were in Portland, we'd have to do a dab, so I suppose since we're in Denver, we should have to do a dab too. And if you can, join us. And if you can't, we're working hard to see that you can. Back in a minute with Bacon Dan for Roots Monday.
.420 Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome!
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Are you in the market for portable vaporizers now? Get online to vapes.buzz, the quick and easy link to portablevaporizersnow.com. Vapes.buzz has everything you are looking for, including vape pens, herbal vaporizers, e-juice, parts, accessories, and more. Visit vapes.buzz and use promo code 420RADIO to get 10% off your online purchase, or just give them a call at 866-264-2415. Vapes.buzz. Get vaping, baby!
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Roots Monday, featuring the blues, country, folk, and jazz music that birthed the modern sounds we enjoy today. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, welcome back. That reminds me, I need to fix that so that we also bring in the great classic rock that Bacon Dan has been bringing us. And I'm doing everything remotely from Denver, so I hope we've got Bacon Dan on the line. Can you hear me, Dan?
I most certainly can, Russ.
Awesome! It worked! Oh my God, this is turning out so well. We just bought a new recorder here in Denver, a Zoom H5 that works through USB onto the computer, and we're using Skype, so everything's all digitized, and it seems to be working quite well.
That's far out, man.
Far out indeed. So, hey, man, how's it going? How's everything in Portland?
It's great. It's a very beautiful, rainy Monday here in Rift City. Just catching up on all the premieres from last night on HBO with Game of Thrones, Veep, which I'm really loving that show, and Silicon Valley, which is such a pot-friendly show, it's almost embarrassing at times.
Oh, that's wonderful. Good news to hear. And I was going through, I don't remember which sports website, but something about a college hockey goalie committing an extreme gaffe. Do you know anything about that?
I do. He really messed up. But it's funny enough, another college hockey story. There is a goalie in the collegiate world right now who wears the number 29, which is my lucky number that is always on my hockey jerseys, and his last name is Bacon.
Oh, well, we got to hope he gets drafted. Which team should take him to fulfill the full Bacon Dan hockey fantasy?
For me, I mean, I would love him to see him on my Buffalo Sabres, but actually I think the Winnipeg Jets would be even better.
All right, there we go. We have said it. It shall be true. We'll get this Bacon, the Belleville bump. We'll get him on the Winnipeg Jets. It is said.
There you go.
All right, so we're getting more classic rock for our Roots Monday today. And this one, I'm not sure which version you're bringing us, but I know the song. Tell us about it.
Well, we've got Jerry Cafferty and the Beaver Brown Band, better known to the world as Eddie and the Cruisers, with On the Dark Side. I love this song. This song just makes me so happy, especially growing up as a saxophone player. I had to learn how to do that solo on my giant baritone sax, which was always a good time. 1983, this movie came out. It's still a classic to this day. The second one, not so good. But the original, it was a classic. I love this song. I know our audience loves this song. But I figured, especially because next week is 420, why not lead up? Because I got something great for next week, I got to tell you. So let's keep the good vibes going and, you know, just poke on, people.
Right on. And I have to let you know, I was at a house here in Denver, and I got to enjoy a voodoo donut. It's so nice to have a voodoo donut here in Denver.
It's like a little piece of home.
That's right. All right, this is John Cafferty, the Beaver Brown Band with On the Dark Side. We'll talk to you next week, Dan.
Sounds good, buddy.
The dark side's calling out on the misery. She'll never know just how I feel. From out of the shadows, she walks like a dream. Make me feel crazy, make me feel so mean. Nothing gonna save me from the love that's blind. Slip to the dark side and cross out.
Radio, freeing your mind 24 hours a day. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat.
And the results?
Very effective.
Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
Music from Fats Waller. That's Smarty. Some of our new Viper Hour music. You can hear our new Viper Hour at 8 p.m. Pacific time. It's 9 p.m. out here in Denver, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's our celebration of early 20th century blues, jazz, and swing, and the Hep Cats that played it, that were a big influence on what has become our marijuana culture in America. It's kind of my salute to the fact that our culture does go back over a century, way over a century. So be proud of being a part of our culture. And that kind of is my segue to the next topic I wanted to get to. My good friend Keith Stropp, he's the founder of Normal, and he's written an article for marijuana.com. And it's entitled Responsible Marijuana Smoking, Moderation in All Things. And it's an editorial. And he goes on to talk about how still almost two-thirds of voters have a negative perception of marijuana smokers, whether or not they support legalization or not, but they still have a negative perception. And he talks about how we all come in different shapes and sizes, and the marijuana community is very diverse, and yes, we are. And that getting high, like sex, is not a dirty word. There's a time and a place for everything. But then it takes this turn where it's, well, I'll just read to you one of the paragraphs here, which is, a healthy family life requires shared experiences and interactions that depend on a degree of personal communication that is frequently interrupted if one of the parties is stoned. And frankly, like most other activities in life, getting high is more pleasurable when experienced in moderation. And then he goes on to list marijuana's, or Normal's principles of responsible use. And there's an explanation for each. One is to be sensitive to set and setting before lighting up. So you don't light up where it's going to bug other people, or you just, you know, if it's going to be a safety risk or kids are going to be around or whatever. And that all that, yeah, that's all cool. That all makes sense. And then number two, no driving while impaired with marijuana, and that any impairment should not just test for the presence of THC. It should also, you know, be accurate somehow. And here's where I kind of got a little concerned, because it's number three, resist abuse. And this is from Normal's, since 1996, has had this thing. And this is at news.marijuana.com. And resist abuse. Most marijuana use is essentially harmless. Some is not. The use of marijuana, to the extent it impairs health, personal development, or achievement, is abuse and should be resisted. For example, the concept of wake and bake needs to disappear from our lexicon. It is a variation on the stupid stoner stereotype of a smoker who sits home on his couch all day and stays stoned from morning until night. That image feeds the prejudice that exists among non-smokers towards those of us who smoke. Wake and bake might work on an occasional camping trip or a day spent walking in the woods, but it should not be a regular part of one's life. Okay, so I understand where he's coming from, and I know the framing angle he's getting at, right? But I think it's a mistake to, just as it's a mistake in trying to catch the stone driver by designating a certain 5 nanograms or 10 nanograms or whatever it is, says that they're impaired, by the same token, how often or much that we're consuming marijuana in and of itself is not a measure of how productive, successful, or a stoner stereotype we may be. I use marijuana every day from the time I get up, shortly after getting up, during my shower. I love vapor pens. You can vape in the shower. But I use marijuana all day. I'm using it from time to time as I'm writing, as I'm sitting all day, as I'm going to work out, as I get back, as I'm doing this show. And after the show, in post-processing, and during the times I'm writing, and right before I go to bed. So if you just wrote all that down and talked about a guy who just does that, and add into it from his basement in his house, right? if you wrote all of it down, yeah, I'd sound like the perfect absolute slacker stoner stereotype. Until you started looking at the other aspects of my life. You started looking at my frequent flyer miles and the fact that I do believe I have more travel miles than Mason Tervert at this point. So I'm flying all over the country. I'm doing a lot of work, doing a lot of these gigs, wrangling volunteers, heading up a nonprofit, putting together a radio network, developing an app. I mean, I'm a busy cat, and I'm doing it all under the influence of marijuana. I think we need to get into, but again, I understand where he's coming from about dispelling the stereotype. We just need to be careful that we don't start assigning per se levels of what is and is not a bad stoner stereotype. Let's keep this focused on the behavior and the character of the person, not how much they smoked or when they smoke. Thoughts?
No, I definitely agree with you. I mean, I have recently learned that I do not need as much cannabis or as much marijuana consumed as I used to. I mean, for 3 years straight, 3-4 years straight, starting as an intern with you, I went pretty hard. I was dabbing all the time. Obviously, then I was running a dispensary, so I was constantly using. But and also very productive during that period of my life. But, you know, I took a brief time off when I went to Hawaii for a little bit, and my entire ability to handle being high is just like completely different. So I could definitely understand that moderation is key, and you don't need to be waking and baking. Like, I now know that I can make it well into the afternoon before I need to take a dab or something like that. Whereas previously I probably would have taken one upon rolling out of bed, you know? So I
definitely think
people need to experiment. People need to be willing to take a little bit of time off. And actually for a lot of people, I've had a lot of friends who said, oh, I just don't get high anymore, so they just keep smoking. You just take a little break,
yeah,
and that's going to significantly improve for you. So
yeah, my break is called Idaho and Wyoming. All right, let's get to our phone lines. We got a call coming in from, I believe it's 951 area code. You're on the air. What's up?
Hi Russ, how are you doing today?
I'm fantastic, how are you?
I'm good. My name's Mike Harris. I'm with Human Solution here in California.
Oh, and I'm so glad you're calling. I love the Human Solution. Tell us what's up.
Well, first of all, just I'd like to congratulate Joy Graves, who had her case dismissed in Oregon. Judge finally realized that it was they suppressed all of the evidence in an illegal search, and it was dismissed. But there's one thing that's on our minds currently. There's a woman in Kansas, in Garden City, Kansas, and she is a cannabis activist, and she has an 11-year-old son who, during a school presentation, I guess they were talking about drugs, and her 11-year-old son stood up in class, raised his hand, I suppose, and was saying, corrected the teacher on some apparent misinformation and disagreed with what she was saying. And because of that, the child was removed from the class, the police were called, the child was interrogated without the parents and the principal's office, and the child did not return home. When Shona Banda from Kansas called the school, she was informed that she would not be able to pick up her child, and she could not go home because they were going to raid her house because of the child being interrogated, and then she was subsequently charged with possession of 2 ounces of cannabis. And now that she's fighting a case in Kansas over what seems to be some sort of Orwellian story.
Man, that is chilling. Okay, so now we're going to, this is just, you know, we're gonna bust down people's doors on the probable cause that their kid knows the facts about something. That's just remarkable.
Yes.
That's
this
incredible.
This is in Kansas. They don't have, from my understanding, it's still a non-medical state.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When you think about it, there are now 37 states that have some sort of relaxed law on cannabis, even if it's just one of those CBD only things, right? So they're like in a shrinking minority, Kansas, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Texas, and so on. Yeah, so I'm not surprised this has happened. It seems to me the kind of thing that a good lawyer could defeat, what the laws are regarding interrogating a child without their parents present. I'm sure there's some sort of evidentiary procedure you could go about there. It's just, man, I sure hope they get the help they need. What can we do to help? Is there a website, a way that people can contribute or anything, or get more info?
Well, we have a press release on our website, khsintl.org, that talks about the case. And, you know, if you feel inclined, you can contact the district attorney there in Garden City, Kansas, and complain about how your tax dollars are being spent. You can write the congressman within that area, or even the senator in Kansas, whether or not they would have an impact, being the fact that, you know, they are who they are, I can't say, but the more voices they hear, the better.
The Human Solution International, their website's THSINTL.com.
Dot org.
THSINTL.org. You can find out more about this. And folks, so they found the 2 ounces, and a lot of, you know, naysayers will say, well, see, there was drugs. Folks, it doesn't matter whether they found or what they didn't find. It's the probable cause they didn't have to find it. And that's an important part of our judicial system, to make sure the cops just can't follow hunches, because sometimes their hunches are right. That's not the way our system works.
Well, even the fact that if the kid was correcting his teacher in class about what he felt to be the truth in an academic setting, it almost smacks of some sort of type of indoctrination or some sort of relearning experience for them to be pulling the child out of class to begin with.
Yeah, that's just terrible. Well, thank you so much for your call. THSINTL.org is the website to get more information on this. And again, thank you for telling us all about it.
Yes, that's a Human Solution. Thank you for all that you do as well.
All right, man. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back from Denver with more here on the Russ Belville Show. Stick around.
The beginning of the end started in 1996 when California legalized weed for so-called medical purposes. 16 years later, Washington and Colorado legalized it outright and let people sell it from storefronts. And what has been the result?
The generation of millions of dollars in tax revenue for the states and creation of hundreds of new jobs in a growing multi-billion dollar industry?
No. Well, yes. But at what cost?
Let's see. The cost of all that police time and money that's now spent going after real criminals and prisons with enough room to hold them all?
No. Well, yes. But look at what it's done to the people.
You mean that fewer of them are dying of alcohol, tobacco, and prescription-related causes since they've switched to cannabis, and many more are receiving medical benefit from a cheap, non-toxic healing herb?
No. Well, yes. Yes. Yes to all of that. But, I can smell pot from my backyard. And I can't tell my kids not to do it because it's illegal.
420 Radio, your ticket to Seattle Hemp Fest. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. 45 after the hour. That's Lead Belly. That's right, Lead Belly with Take a Whiff on Me. That's some of our new Viper Hour music. You can catch that at 8 p.m. Pacific tonight. Just a nice selection of blues, jazz, and swing from the early 20th century from the pioneers who invented our marijuana culture. I'm Radical Russ. I'm hanging out here with Wiz Calico, Calico Castile from ColecoVision.com, who's just here in Denver with me doing some weed blog work.
Yeah, actually, I actually kind of put ColecoVision.com on the back burner for a little while since I've recently been working for the weed blog, doing some blogging as well as doing some ad sales and marketing. So, you know, it's been a great time getting out here to Denver, checking out some different businesses and, you know, starting to get back into networking here in the marijuana industry. So it's a blast. Actually, I was on Facebook last night and it does these things where it shows you memories like years back, 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year. 4 years back from last night, I was actually preparing to go to the Normal Conference here in Denver for the 40th annual Normal Conference, which was like my first big marijuana event when I had started as an intern. So it's kind of come full circle after taking a year off after Brightside and jumping back into the game now to be coming here to Denver and kind of the rebirth. So I'm super stoked. It's been a
right on. It's a good time to be a part of this movement. And speaking of this movement, you know, we're looking toward 2016. We talked about California and its chance to legalize in 2016. Of course, there's another little election going on in 2016. They're running for president, you heard? There's going to be a new president in 2016. I mean, by new, I mean a new human being. It might be one of the same last names that we've had, but a Clinton or a Bush. Oh, come on, really? Come on, really? Haven't we played this game? But anyway, don't want to go there. I wanted to talk about this piece in Vox.com. Dan Riffle from Marijuana Policy Project has a significant part in it. And the piece is entitled, Democratic Voters Love Marijuana Legalization, Hillary Clinton Doesn't. And here's some of her recent comments that they had. On legalization in a CNN town hall, she said, quote, on recreational, you know, states are the laboratories of democracy. We have at least two states that are experimenting with that right now. I want to wait and see what the evidence is, end quote. Okay, well, that's all right. As long as you don't get in the way, let those guys work their thing out, that's cool. And then on medical marijuana, she says, quote, I don't think we've done enough research yet. Although I think for people who are in extreme medical conditions and have anecdotal evidence that it works, there should be availability under appropriate circumstances. But I do think we need more research because we don't know how it interacts with other drugs. There's a lot we don't know, end quote. I'm sorry, she didn't actually laugh during the saying of that.
Oh, she didn't?
No, no. That's me laughing at, what? More research? Good Lord.
No, it's to a point of, as a person who's like very political, just like political minded, and like I'm a nerd when it comes to politics and the political campaigning and all that sort of thing, to have someone who's not helping you with your messaging to where that's literally your best answer,
yeah,
that we need more research, that's like Dr. Drew 2004, man.
Yeah.
Like, what? I don't understand where you're at. That's not reality. That's not 2016. That's not Colorado. As we were saying in the Kayvon earlier, Kayvon interview earlier, that like more people voted for marijuana legalization in Colorado than they did for Obama in 2012. That's the political reality,
right,
that people are facing right now.
And that's, you know, this piece goes into that detail showing how, you know, marijuana legalization is above the 50% mark overall. But when you start breaking it down, Republican, Democrat by generation, now forget the silent generation, the pre-baby boomers, the really old folks, but even among them, almost 45% of those folks in the Democratic camp support legalization. But among baby boomers, it's over 2 out of 3. Among Generation X, this is among Democrats, right? Generation X Democrats, over 3 in 5. And millennial Democrats, over 3 out of 4. Yeah. So there's no reason why. So as you're looking for votes, you're looking for a very popular plank to support, a position to support, it would be for marijuana legalization, or at least medical. I mean, medical's over 80% in just about everywhere. Anybody you ask, it's over 80%. And taking a look at the swing states, you know, there's, you know, in America, when we elect a president, where you live matters as to whether you decide anything, right? You know, in California, your vote doesn't matter.
Wyoming,
yeah, your vote doesn't matter. But there's some states where it matters, and it's Florida, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. These are these purple swing states with big electoral math that could go either way. Legalization's got 55% in Florida, 52% in Ohio, and 51% in Pennsylvania. So 80% of Democrats in support of medical on top of that. So why is she not wanting to take she doesn't even have to take a strong stand, just a, like you mentioned, a better coached stand, a more palatable stand to these people, especially the millennials, who are going to sniff bullshit in there. They're going to go, what? More research.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's just literally that her campaign hasn't crafted a message yet. Like, I don't really think that's her stance. Like, I think that Hillary Clinton, just clearly as a 60-year-old woman, doesn't pay attention to marijuana.
Yeah.
It's like the same thing, like, when we're looking at the Oregon legislature right now, that those politicians prior to this knew nothing. They're now trying to figure out and fumbling through how to pronounce cannabidiol. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a whole new world, and her campaign hasn't had enough time to brief her on that. That's not what they're focusing
That's
on
true.
At the beginning of the campaign. So I think we are kind of, there will be an evolution, and it's not going to be just in her thinking, but it's going to be in her knowledge of what's going on. So
yeah,
the research is on her part, on her team's part, not so much on the scientists.
Yeah, yeah, we need more research. We need more research. She was being literal. Yeah. We need to do more research. She meant that as a verb. Okay. But the other point that's made here in the article is that it really ultimately might not matter. Dan Riffle makes the point, quote, all we really need from the next administration is to respect state marijuana laws. Once those laws are implemented, the public can see how much more effective regulation is compared to arresting and prosecuting adults and letting criminals run the market. Support will grow, as it has in the wake of Colorado effectively implementing its law, end quote. And that's the thing. It's like, We get heat, you know. I'm on the boards, I'm on Facebook, I'm in comment sections, and I know a lot of cannabis consumers give Barack Obama a lot of heat. Well, he could just reschedule it. He could, with a stroke of the pen. It's like, I think Barack Obama's stance is more like, I'm going to not get in its way, right? He's not going to move it forward just because of all the, it's a too big a political risk for too little a political gain. But that time might be changing now. There might be enough political gain in being pro-pot, but I don't know. Obama might just be, he's a cautious politician, and he's the first black president. He doesn't want the, you know, he's the one who legalized pot on his legacy. Maybe if he's just the one who let it happen, maybe that's good enough.
I think you were talking a little bit earlier how his legacy is going to be talked about a little bit later. He's just laying the groundwork. He is a smart politician, and he knows that in the long term of things, he sees the polls. There's no, like, he's been dealing with the YouTube questions and the online questions his entire presidency. He realizes that the issue is going there, but he doesn't necessarily have to push it over. The tipping point has already been reached, and it's no reason for him, like you said, to do any more pushing for the.
I have some free political advice for the Clinton campaign from a guy who talks about this stuff all the time and knows a bit about framing. I'm no Frank Luntz, but hey, pivot. Here's where you can use a pivot technique, Mrs. Clinton, Secretary Clinton, is when someone brings up the legalization, say something to the effect of, we have four states now that have implemented some form of legalization. The laboratories of democracy thing is a good line. Stick with that and pivot it to anything that we are looking to see if they have the results of reducing incarceration, and pivot it to the whole mass incarceration thing, because you got bipartisan support for that. That's something that you can stand up for and be the kind of moderate centrist Democrat you are without ruffling feathers from the anti-legalization crowd. It's a good middle road issue. It works good as a social justice racial issue, ending the mass incarceration. So any way you could tie, four states have tried to legalize, we're watching those laboratories of democracy to see if they have any results such as reducing mass incarceration. Obviously, someone's got to tailor that better than the way I've just said it, but a pivot to the mass incarceration issue, I think, works for her.
I definitely think it works for her, but and I think that she also needs to take the opinion that it has to be a laboratory of democracy sort of stance, because Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, like Marco Rubio, like, you know, a lot of people are basically saying that's going to be their fallback stance. That's
right.
A conservative fallback stance. And if Hillary Clinton wants to at least take that issue off the table, she has to go to at least that it's a laboratory of democracy thing. But I think that definitely pivoting towards mass incarceration, that starts to get towards the core social justice issues that, you know, Democrats like to talk about that they stand for. So I think that will definitely help to frame the issue in another way, that this is just not smart way of doing this. Not a smart way of getting to a social justice.
Yeah. Yeah, and the article also makes a good point about, by not tackling this issue, she opens herself up on the left to someone like Martin O'Malley, that was he Maryland governor,
that Maryland.
might run. I don't know. Is anyone going to even primary Hillary? I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know. We'll see.
I think people definitely will. I don't know how deep it'll go, though.
All right. Well, folks, as you know, Kaliko and I are here in Denver, Colorado. So if you've got any suggestions, you know, any people that you'd like us or places you'd like us to check out, we will make a plan if we can to get out there. For one, we're going to be visiting a major grow shop and dispensary out here in Colorado through some friends of mine. So we will get that on video. While we're just a radio show now on the live stream, I still have the Radical Russ YouTube channel, and we'll be posting video interviews and videos up there for all these trips, so you can see the plants and the dispensaries and how cool it is.
Can I give a shout out for some new technology also? We've been talking a lot about Periscope on this trip. Obviously, it's a new live streaming app on your phone where basically, you know, it's synced right with Twitter. So you use your Twitter account in order to live stream through Periscope. And so we're out here, we're going to be doing that from, you know, the Radical Russ and the 420 radio channels, as well as the Weed Blog one. So if you're on Twitter, if you're not on Twitter, you should be on Twitter. And then if you're on Twitter, you need to also get on Periscope so that you can follow the live streams along, because that'll also allow us to record the videos and upload the videos later. So if we're just on the fly and see somebody at one of these cannabis events, we can just go pop on Periscope right away. It'll send out a tweet automatically, and then you guys can hop onto the feed, ask questions live, and it'll be super interactive. So
yeah,
check it out.
We're going to check that out. In fact, that's the next thing I'm going to do when I log out, is get that app downloaded and get the name Radical Russ before someone else does.
Yeah. Oh, we're also going to see Dixie Elixir on Thursday
morning. That's
right. So super stoked about that. They're obviously a huge brand in the marijuana industry, and we're super excited to go check them out.
All right. So it's our week-long set of shows here from Denver. We'll be here live, and judging by how well this first thing worked out, I think it's going to be a lot easier for us to be live than I really expected. The new recorder is working like a charm. And it's nice and portable. I think that you're going to be able to do great things with this. We've also got some good friends out here we're going to visit. If you may remember Lively Libra, she lives out here a little out of town. It's going to be a bit of a drive out west into the foothills there. But we're going to visit Lively Libra if we get a chance on her day off, which is either tomorrow or Wednesday. So maybe we'll do Wednesday's show out there. I don't know. I have to find out if they've got internet. All depends on the internet. You all know that. But folks, time flies when you legalize. That's all the time we've got for today. From beautiful Denver, Colorado, where it's legal, I'm Radical Russ with Wiz Kaliko. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back live tomorrow with more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. Check us out on 420radio.org and follow Radical Russ on Twitter. I'll let you know when I get that whole Periscope thing logged in. See you later. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.